Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson. And with me today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome in the Lord.
You might notice that I didn't say with me always is Pastor Joe Schimmel, because Pastor Joe Schimmel is in Idaho, actually going to be preaching this week at a home fellowship there. And last episode, I talked a little bit about some of the home fellowship groups that our church, that we're a part of at Good Fight Ministries, which is Blessed Hope Chapel. They are separate ministries, but everyone involved at Good Fight Ministries is also pretty much involved at Blessed Hope Chapel. And so one of the things I just wanted to point out to you guys, you can go to blessedhopechapel.org. And you can check out the different sites that we have. Right now, we have a group that meets in Idaho, we have a group that meets in Texas, and a group that meets in New York. I think that's all of them. If I forgot you, I am so sorry, but I believe that's all the groups that we have meeting right now. And guys, if you're looking for a place to fellowship, there's some great brothers. You have the Jackson family. It has nothing to do with Michael Jackson, I would tell you that. And they do not like being called the Jackson Five, even though there are five of them.
They don't. I call them that all the time.
and we also have the Von...
James.
Mary, Keith, yeah, sorry. I believe it's Von F. I hope I'm saying that right, who also meet in New York. And then we have a group in Idaho where Joe's going to be preaching, I believe, at the Fowlers or maybe Austin Williams' house. But they're meeting up there, and we're just excited about that. We missed Joe, but we still wanted to get some shows out to you guys, and there's been some news that's happened, not only in the Christian realm, but also in the secular realm. There's some teachings. We still want to try to pop out these podcasts for you guys, that you guys could still get some spiritual benefit from it, even if we don't have Joe with us. But today, guys, we are going to be talking about a very important subject, a subject that has become the hallmark subject, pretty much, of Christianity here in America. Maybe not in other places, but here in America, if you do not get down and kiss the ring of the LGBTQSGYWNOP community, and you do not get on your knees and kiss their ring, then guess what? We will have no part of you. And that's basically what's been happening, guys. And I think that there are two stories in the news right now that greatly exemplify this exact thing. When it comes to Joshua Harris and Mario Lopez, I think they are a perfect example of whether you're in the world or whether you're in the Christian realm. If you don't bow down and kiss the ring of the LGBTQ community, man, that is really hard to say together. if you don't bow down and kiss the ring and accept them and give them hearty approval for those who do practice such things, then guess what? You can have no part of us. And that's basically what happens. And so you see this cowardice that takes place, and that's what I'm going to call it when it comes to precisely the Christian community, that it would be cowardice. That's exactly what it is when you back down and bow down and say, you know what, I'm going to be accepting, and I want to accept the marriages of homosexuality, even though that doesn't exist. A homosexual marriage is as real as a married bachelor, neither of which are true. Okay, marriage was something given to us by God. The only marriage is between one man and one woman. Okay, and it breaks my heart to see that, and to see that on multiple occasions when it seems like Joshua Harris, if you guys don't know the story, I actually wrote an article. Tony and I recorded a show last week regarding Joshua Harris. We recorded on Tuesday after he announced that he was separating from his wife. And if you guys know anything about Joshua Harris, he wrote the bestsellers I Kissed Dating Goodbye and Boy Meets Girl. I think just I Kissed Dating Goodbye is a bestseller, but I actually like Boy Meets Girl better. And I read both of them as a newer believer. And Joshua Harris had an effect on my life. I ended up just practicing a lot of the principles that were very scriptural in the book. And after practicing those principles, I then ended up marrying my wife. And my wife actually read the books, and she said they were a benefit to her as well, as well as Eric Ludi's book with his wife. I believe it's called When God Writes Your Love Story. I think she decided to break up with her, the person she was courting at the time, and then ended up with me. So thanks, Eric Ludi. I like you as a preacher, too. You're pretty good. Our friend Ben Price from Australia is a big fan. But anyways, getting off subject there. Joshua Harris has led down this trail. You know, when he was 20 or 21, he came out with these books, got a lot of hype and appeal, and then next thing you know, he's a pastor. And after being built up as a pastor in 2015, he stepped down as a pastor. He was a Calvinist, Reformed teacher, and then went to more of an ecumenical, I believe, college, a more liberal, I would say, college that he went to after stepping down, I don't know, to go learn stuff. And next thing you know, 2017, 2018, he's doing TED Talks about I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And next thing you know, he's pulling the books from their shelves, saying he has a difference of opinion now, they're not scriptural, blah, 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 blah. Then he announces he's stepping away from his wife. And this was the time where I said, okay, I gotta do something on this. I was already, my wife and I were actually pretty sad about what had happened with Joshua Harris when it came to the books and him wanting to pull them. We were sad when he stepped down as a pastor. And we were like, what is going on with this guy? And then when he separated us from his wife, we both were like, oh, Lord, what is going on? We just didn't know. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And I read his entire statement about them having a difference, a different viewpoints now. And I was like, I don't see anywhere, and I looked at it, I don't see anywhere on this where he talks about we prayed to the Lord, we sought his word, we saw there was no chance of reconciliation. Not that I believe that necessarily, unless there was infidelity, not that I believe there would be some opening for them to separate, you know, unless she was deserting him or something along those lines. So I was really, really confused. And I remember sitting in the office, I was here with Tony. I said, Tony, I went through this guy's Instagram. Please double check with me. I have not found a single quote about Jesus. I haven't, it's not even about the Lord. He takes pictures with his daughters, with his kids, and doesn't say like, praise the Lord for these children, like nothing. And I was like, but I did find a Che Guevara quote, that communist dictator murderer, and quotes him subsequent to him throwing his books off the shelf. And I said, Tony, please look with me so that I'm fact-checked. Does he talk about the Lord one time? Does he quote scripture
quite a
180. One time?
Quite a 180 going from Christianity to Che Guevara. What in the world?
That's what I was thinking, and it hurt my heart. It was sad, and I remember I recorded the episode on Tuesday. I got to Joe's house with my wife, and I said, Joe, I got to be honest with you, bro. I think this guy's going to say he's not a believer. I was like, I do not think this guy's a believer, and my wife and I, we were really sad. We were praying for him and his wife, especially his kids, and guess what happens Friday? He announces, mm-hmm. I've fallen away from the faith, and I'm going to read a little bit from the article we have on goodfight.org. We'd love for you to check it out. It's gotten a lot of good reviews so far on it. Some people disagree, and that's fine. But there, we really believe in the warnings that take place in the article. So I'm going to read a little bit from it. It's called Why Apostasy Hurts, Josh Harris's Departure from the Faith and Why It Hurts. Joshua Harris, according to his own words, has fallen away from the faith. While he's not the first one to ever forsake so great a salvation, it doesn't make the resolution any less devastating. Devastating for believers who would never want such judgment to befall someone who has known the truth. Devastating for those who had read and benefited from his previous writings. Devastating for the congregation he once pastored. Devastating for his children as he leaves an example of forsaking the risen king who died on his behalf. And of course, devastating for his wife who did not sign up to be married to an apostate. Now, I wrote those words, and I wrote those words in my car outside of the gym while I was literally in tears thinking about his family, thinking about his children, thinking about my own children when it comes to, thinking about my wife when it comes to this. I know as a husband, I'm under the umbrella of Jesus. Jesus is the head of my household, without a doubt. And guess what? He has said, husbands, you're going to lead your house. And then I am going to lead my house. And then my wife is going to help me to lead our children to know the Lord. And I don't take that lightly. You know, we use the analogy a lot of a babysitter. You know, imagine, Tony, imagine you're like, I'm going to hire Chad to be my babysitter. And if he would have done this when I was in high school, it would have been a terrible idea, by the way. I'm going to hire Chad to be my babysitter. And he's going to babysit my kids. And I'm going to give him certain rules. This is how I want my kids raised, okay? I do not, or this is how I want my kids tonight. Make sure they're in bed at this time. Make sure they're doing this. Don't get involved in this. Don't put this on the TV. And Tony comes home from a night out with his wife. And his children have a bong load on the right. There's a beer bong on the left. Porno on the TV. And he looks at me. And would he not be enraged to find this? Could you imagine that with your own children? Could you imagine coming home and seeing that? So for me, I know that I'm somewhat of a glorified babysitter, that God has given me these children. He's the one that ultimately formed them in their mother's womb, and he's given me the ability to raise them up to know him. And guess what? I'm not going to be that deadbeat babysitter. I'm certainly, if they're sneaking off and doing something, that's another thing. If they have a sinful, unbelieving heart that falls away from living God, that's one thing. But I'm going to certainly do everything in my ability to make sure they don't go that way. So imagine being the wife, and I don't know where she's at. I have no idea where she's at with all this. Not a clue. But I'm just saying, because this isn't the first time that a husband and wife has gotten married. They've done the right things. They waited till marriage. They got married. And yet the husband turned his back on his wife. Okay, this isn't the first time this has happened. Okay, involved in Christian ministry at all, involved in counseling at all, you know this isn't the first time this has happened. Okay, I think Casting Crowns has a whole song about it, right? It's a slow fade, right? Yep. Black and white turns to gray, thoughts invade, you know, and he talks about journey from your mind to your hands is shorter than you're thinking, you know, and I really like that song. I think it's a really good song. It's a great warning for fathers, you know, daddies never crumble in a day. Because picture that as a wife. If you're a woman who has a husband who then goes apostate, how devastating is that for your children? It's heartbreaking that that would be their example, because ultimately they're looking to them at a young age, okay? And Jesus equates us, right? That you need to become like little children. What do the little children do? They wait hand and feet for the guidance of their parents. And so guess what? I need to be waiting hands and feet to the guidance of Jesus. How is Jesus wanting me to raise my kids? And for a wife to have a husband go apostate and be that example to their children.
It makes you wonder if there's more going on there. I know we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, we have.
Like, how does somebody go, you know, from a seemingly strong Christian background, a pastor, writing books about dating, to just not saying he's not a Christian anymore?
Yeah, you have to wonder.
It makes you wonder, and then he's leaving his wife. It makes you wonder if there's some more things that might come out in the days ahead about that, because it's usually just not as simple as that.
No, I agree.
And it's so similar to the culture that's around us, where it's about me, me, me. Everybody's so self-absorbed, narcissistic. I want to do what pleases me, and it seems like he's maybe fallen into that trap a little bit.
Yeah, and if you look at his...
Or a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it, yeah. You look at his Instagram page, it just seems like a guy who wants to be an entrepreneur of some sort, marketing,
yeah,
whatever.
Scrubbed, like you said, scrubbed everything that's, you know, Christian, or even, you know, positive in a Christian sense.
Yeah, even just positive.
I mean, when you're quoting Che Guevara...
Yeah, give me a break, man. The fact that you can quote him, but you can't quote Jesus, because
right.
He doesn't quote Jesus at all. And the fact that the culture has made it that's less offensive,
mm-hmm.
right? Wearing a shirt of Che Guevara at the college campus, okay, is normative. Wearing
exactly.
I'm not a big fan of Jesus faces, whatever, but I wearing something that had scripture on it or something, you would be, oh, so repugnant. How could you have that? You have Jesus who died, and you have Shay who murdered, and yet he's more accepted. And it just shows the culture of death that we're a part
wearing of. Wearing who you're going to offend.
Yeah,
and
amen.
Of course, like you mentioned, the LGBTQSCYO.
Yep.
I mean, that seems like he's worried about that. I'm like, why did he go there? What was the reasoning behind that?
I wonder that too. And I wrote this at the end of the article, and I want to get to a couple of bits before we're all done here. But I want to get to this, because I think what Tony's talking about is something that I've also felt, and I've also worried on his behalf.
And we should fear the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Not what
not the LGBT.
Somebody
that,
I mean,
yeah.
it's no different than being an alcoholic or any other sin that's out there. You wouldn't, you know, bow down to kiss the ring of the alcoholic or the yeah. the adulterer and say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have written that book and I regret it. You know, why does it seem to be going to the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, let me, you know what? In fact, because you said that, I'm actually going to read from his Instagram page when it comes to his falling from grace, so to speak. And what he, one of the things he mentions, that's why we're putting this together from his statements, okay? He said, he basically, I'm learning that grace has no market, or that no group has the market cornered on grace. This week I've received grace from Christians, atheists, evangelicals, ex-evangelicals, I'm sure that's one of him now, mm-hmm. Straight people, LGBTQ people, and everyone in between. Of course, there have also been strong words of rebuke, da-da-da-da-da. Then he says this, he says, he talks about Martin Luther and quotes him, and he says, but specifically, I want to add this list now. To the LGBTQ plus community, I want to say that I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books and as a pastor regarding sexuality. I regret standing against marriage equality for not affirming you and your place in the church. Why do you care what their place is in the church if you're leaving it? But anyways, and for any ways that my writing is being contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry, I hope you can forgive me. And this is why we're saying he's bowing down to the ring. And I think, and this is somewhat surmising, but it's also surmising from experiential knowledge, okay? From the people that I've talked to, and I just told this story, under this same context with Joe, we were talking about somebody who used to be at the church, and one of the things that I worked with somebody at Lowe's here, and he says, hey, I ran into that guy, you know, over at X and Y store, and I started talking to him, and he's like, oh, I don't go there anymore. He said, hey, how's Blessed Hope? Oh, he's like, I don't go anymore. I don't believe that stuff anymore, blah, 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 blah. And he said he waited and he listened, and after he said this, that, and the other, he said, oh, what's her name? And he said, what do you mean, what's her name? He's like, oh, the girl you've been sleeping with, and then all of a sudden had doubts about your faith. Because that's typically, guess what, been the case. And of course, the guy reacted, well, her name's blah, 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 but that's not why, right? Yeah. All these intellectual qualms that now you have weren't there before the unrighteousness that you wanted to practice. So you wanted to suppress the truth. And I'm going to read from the last little stanza of the article, and it says, following Harris's story since becoming acquainted with him through his books, this does not seem like an overnight decision. It seems to be a number of foxes that ended up ruining his vineyard of faith. From stepping down as a pastor to pulling his books from the shelves, his separation from his wife, and his announcement of apostasy, it seems to be a falling away from the Word of God and its sufficiency. In my experience with counseling others, these doubts are typically accompanied by sin, and the suppressing of truth is related to unrighteousness. While I don't know his exact situation, this has usually been the trail of the apostates that I have encountered. When his separation was announced, I mentioned that about the podcast show. And guys, that's 5/11 News. And a lot of you guys already know that. I have a separate show that I do, and it airs every Friday regarding just news stories. A little less exegetical teaching as we get with Joe here on the Good Fight Radio Show, but just awesome stuff. You guys want to listen to it. Hey, of course, I'm biased.
Do we know if Joshua Harris apologized to the heterosexual people that read his books?
Yeah, well, he did in some regards, but like, you know, one of the things that Tony mentioned earlier too, you know, this alcoholics thing, and you know, people like to subsidize their sin, mm-hmm. you know, so to speak.
Or compartmentalize
it. And compartmentalize it, not subsidize, yeah. More compartmentalize it. And when it comes to sin, that happens a lot, okay? And we had somebody comment on our Instagram page when we talked about this. And first of all, she said, oh, I think when I read your article, I thought maybe he's gay. You know, that's what she said. And then she said, but I don't care either way. And I was like, what do you mean you don't care? I'm like, if this guy left his family because of sexual sin, because I don't care if it's homosexuality, I don't care if it's pornography, I don't care if it's adultery, if you literally put your children down, threw them to the side so that you can commit your sexual sin, because that's what you're doing. Don't think that leaving your wife doesn't have effect on the children, okay? Let's not act like that doesn't have an effect. It has a huge effect.
Yeah, the ripple effect is broad and wide.
Oh, it's horrible. And not to mention the ripple effect it has. That's what I said. It's devastating to his congregation that used to be pastored by him. Because what is that telling them, right? Hopefully and prayerfully, Lord, please help them all to be completely 100% sufficient in God's word and who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of them for all those who were ex-congregants, okay, of the church he pastored.
But, and man, like I said earlier, this is true of every sin.
Every sin.
Every sin has a ripple effect, and it's going to affects other people. You know, yeah, some people like to try to make the argument, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. Well, do you know that for sure?
Yeah.
Because typically that's what sin does. It doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you at some point in some manner.
Yeah, and your reactions to other people. You know,
right.
the people that are usually involved and enveloped in things like pornography, they think it's their own sin and that this is this private thing. They're looking at their phone and they're looking at their computer. But the fact is, first of all, there's somebody's daughter is on that screen probably. Somebody's son usually, sometimes multiple daughters, whatever you guys are into. I don't know, man. You got to repent is what needs to happen. I mean, Jesus was very, very clear. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eyeball when it comes to pornography. But these things have an effect, and they have an effect on how you view people. They have an effect on how you view women. You have daughters and things.
And your faith.
Of course they have an effect on your faith. And I remember hearing pastors that said they were addicted to pornography for a decade of their pastorate. And I'm like, there's only two combinations that can happen with a pastor that's addicted to pornography, okay? Either you preach against it, and you become what Romans 2 talks about. You say do not steal, but you steal. You say do not lie, but you lie. Judgment comes upon the household of God. Okay? So either that, you're a hypocrite, and God's going to judge you for it, or you're too afraid to preach against it, and then your congregation is absolutely going to be enabled in those things. Okay? And I think if we don't... There's these two aspects. I think we need to preach hard against sin. And I think most beautifully, and we'll get into this more on the Reasons to Hate Sin episode that we're doing soon, but I believe there is a way that both James and John preach against sin that show the grace, and of course Jesus. I mean, first of all, John tells us this is the message I heard from him, right? There is a way to preach the grace with the severity of the sin and the kind of effect that it has on our lives, right? Because it was John who said in 1 John chapter 2 that the goal of his instruction was that we do not sin. But when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. It was James who called people double-minded, you murderers, all these things. But he was the same one who said we all, including himself, stumble in many ways. So we need to also recognize the severity of preaching against sin and how it affects. Look at Joshua Harris and see the effect that it's going to have on his family, on his old congregants, on his wife, on his kids, all these different avenues that, it's just this private thought that I have. Your thoughts, your doings and deeds.
It's turning into actions now.
So. It's really turning. Separating from your wife? Give me a break. It's become... I just saw an article today that someone posted. It's a black eye to the body of Christ because now it's saying, look, those things he wrote about purity, they don't actually help your marriage. And that's absolute nonsense. It's nonsense. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? And it's something that really, really I have a struggle with when it comes to looking at these things and not being hurt. Not that he did anything personally to me, but I hurt for the people he's hurting. Those who weep over this. And guys, that's why when somebody told me, oh, I don't care if he's gay, he can do whatever he wants, and if he wants to fall away, let him fall away. Guys, I care about that guy's soul.
Amen.
And
yeah.
One thing I make very clear in that article, guess what, dude? It says it's better. I said, dude, sorry. You guys know we're from
on,
California.
Dude.
I'm sorry. Sometimes
showing your Californianess.
I get a little too comfortable, I guess, in the podcast show. But guys, one thing is so, so abundantly clear. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, it would be better if you never knew than to know the way of righteousness and then turn from it. I mean, guys, that's serious. That's serious. And don't think, guys, this is this bowing your knee and making sure, oh, okay, I'm going to be in the marketing field. So guess what? I got to make sure that I bow the knee and kiss the ring of the LGBT community. Because guess what, guys?
There might be a customer.
Yeah, there may be a customer. And guess what? If you just lie them all the way to hell, you know.
What about their soul, though?
It's heartbreaking. But, guys, I have a little bit of a... This isn't a confession, but as a young kid, I was really into the show Saved by the Bell. Okay? And Mario Lopez played AC Slater. And for you guys who listen to the show at any length, I've been a wrestling coach for 11 years. I just stepped down. A lot of the reason was so we could do podcast shows like this. But Mario Lopez... was, I was a huge AC Slater fan. He was a wrestler. I thought he was the coolest guy ever. So the other day he was on Candace Owens. I'm going to read from this because we don't have that much time. So if I pontificate a little too much, you guys won't get to hear what happened. But let me read a little bit of the story that happened to Mario and how he had to kiss the ring, okay? Quote, comments from actor and host Mario Lopez concerning transgenderism and children from June, and children made waves, sorry, from June was added in my copy-paste from The Daily Wire, which is where this is from. Speaking to conservative activist Candace Owens on The Candace Owens Show, Lopez, a Catholic, said that it is dangerous for parents to raise children as young as 3 years old as transgender. Owens noted the Hollywood trend of stars speaking out about their young transgender children. Quote, I am trying to understand this new Hollywood mentality where they just think their children now have the mental authority, end quote. Quote, I'm trying to understand it myself, and please don't lump me into that whole group, end quote, Lopez, speaking of the Hollywood group that does this. He said, quote, I'm kind of blown away too. Look, I'm never one to tell anyone how to parent their kids, obviously. And I think you can come from a place of love. You really can't go wrong. But at the same time, my G-O-D, if you're 3 years old and you're saying you're feeling a certain way or you think you're a boy or a girl or whatever the case may be, I just think it's dangerous as a parent to make this determination then, well, okay, then you're going to be a boy or a girl. Whatever the case may be, it's sort of alarming. And my gosh, I just think about the repercussions later on. When you're a kid, you don't know anything about sexuality yet. You're just a kid. How is that controversial? I have to ask that. How on earth is that controversial? Well, it is. This is what his own people had to say regarding him. He said, while Lopez may, while we have enjoyed a long relationship with Mario Lopez, who we know to be a caring person, the opinions he expressed in this interview do not reflect those of Extra. We wholeheartedly embrace our friends from the LGBT community, I can really not say that, and believe they need support and love. For more support on these issues, you can go to glad.org. And then, of course, Mr. Lopez kisses the ring, said, the comments I made were ignorant and insensitive, and I now have a deeper understanding of how hurtful they were. I'm so sorry. I cannot believe I said that three-year-olds shouldn't be able to decide what gender they are. Guys, this isn't controversial. This is nonsense.
I mean, you hear little kids going, when I grow up, I want to be a purple unicorn. I mean, they're just dreamers. You know, they're still developing. They say, oh, I want to be a girl. I want to be a guy. They probably don't even exactly know what that means at that age. It's just, it's crazy.
It's crazy. There was that woman, I thought she was on Tucker Carlson, but she had said that, you know, you need to ask your children first if you want to change their diaper, you know. But guys, this is the nonsense that happens. This is why the Bible says that we are created in the image of God, and it says of Jesus that he is the Logos. He is the logic. And I believe that these people don't have Jesus and they don't have much logic. And the Bible actually says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, that they, if they hate correction, they are stupid. Okay. I'm not calling them stupid, but I'm saying if you hate correction, that's stupid. Okay. It's very, very clear in scripture. And guys, if this is the nonsense, I mean, saying that little children don't really know what's going on shouldn't be controversial. Okay. And sadly, guys, I pray for both Joshua Harris, I pray for Mario Lopez, that they would both repent, that they would both turn to Christ, and they would not be scared by the, not only gay mob, but those who give hearty approval to those who practice such wickedness, even though they themselves know deep down in their hearts it's worthy of death. Those aren't my words. That's the words from Romans chapter 1. Thank you for joining Tony and I on this episode of the Good Fight Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.